Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, we're talking about watch your mouth. We started last Wednesday night, and I like to be relevant. I like to be right and right now word, right where we're at. And right now, there's more negativity than ever before, more criticism, more hate language, more things are being said to hurt people, harm people, distance people, build up walls, tear down bridges, destroy relationships. And I think it's important right now that you and I, as Christians, as believers, watch our mouth. The power of our words. The Bible says that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Our tongue has power. Power to bring death or power to bring life. Power to say things that we will give access to the devil or say things that will give access to God to go to work in our life. So we looked at that last Wednesday night. If you weren't with me, you can go to our website, download it, watch it. We talked about the importance of the power of the tongue and how I gave you five things on what we're to do right now. We talked about we've been called to bless. And we talked about how that we're called to bless and not curse. And when we bless those around us, then God releases the blessing on our life. That's huge because the Bible says in Proverbs 10, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow. And that's not just talking about money or finances. It's talking about every arena of our life. We talked about how we're to edify, we're to speak peace. I gave you a whole list, a checklist and a guideline of what you and I are to be saying right now as Christians, how we're to be responding right now as Christians, as believers, as Christ followers, as born-again folk. Yeah? So I encourage you, if you haven't watched it, if you weren't with us, you know, you need to watch last Wednesday night's service. So tonight I want to do part two of how you and I are to respond in the times that we're living in right now. We're going into the holidays. We're ending the year strong. We're declaring restoration for what the enemy may have stolen from us this year. The Bible says you catch the thief and he has to restore seven times. The thief is the devil, and we are to declare the Bible, the word of God, over what he has stolen from us. And when we speak God's word and declare that the thief, the devil, has been caught, he has to restore seven times back. I declare that for you, for our church, for my family. In Jesus' name, the thief has been caught, the devil, and he has to restore in Jesus' name. So tonight, continuing on the power of our words, how we're to master our mouth, we're to tame and train our tongue. We are to speak on purpose, not, watch this now, don't miss this, most Christians don't know this, not just to communicate, but we are to speak to create. We are to speak to create. The Bible says that whatever you believe in your heart and say with your mouth will come to pass. Whatever you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, it will come to pass. It didn't say what you say comes to pass. It says what you believe when you say it will come to pass. So we're looking at these things, and I want to pick it up tonight. So I'm going to give you a few scriptures to build your faith on the importance of our words and what we're saying right now. And then I want to give you takeaways on how to practice it, apply it tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, in your life, and see our life get better in Jesus' name. So I'm going to go over to the board. We're going to go over here, begin looking at our scriptures, Psalm 34, chapter 34. And I encourage you at home, have guidelines, just like we have here at church. Have guidelines on campus. Have guidelines for our online campus. Don't be interrupted. Don't be disrupted. But focus with me for the next 27 minutes, okay? What you focus on grows in your life, right? The power of concentration is a must if I'm going to grow spiritually. I'm going to say that again. The power to concentrate is key for spiritual growth in the kingdom of God. Here we go. Let God's word speak to you. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens on Thanksgiving Eve or Thanksgiving Day. I will constantly speak of his glories and God's grace. I will boast of his kindness to me. Let all who are discouraged, maybe you're discouraged tonight, take heart, be of good courage. Let us praise the Lord. Notice that you can't control what other people are doing right now during the holidays. I can't either, but you can control how you respond. I can control my moods, my thoughts, and what I'm saying. I can control how I'm feeling. I can control that. So if you try to focus on and trying to control other people, it'll drive you crazy. Trying to control things that are uncontrollable, it'll drive you crazy. So we need to focus on what we can control. We can control our praise life, our thought life, what we're saying, how we're feeling. He said, so I'm going to praise the Lord and I'm going to exalt his name. For I cried to him and he answered me, answered prayer. He freed me. I love this. He freed me from all my fears. We have a ministry here at Church on the Rock called Celebrate Recovery. It meets on Thursday night. We help people get free. God wants you and I to live free. And here he said, I prayed, God answered me, and he freed me from all my fears. Others, too, were radiant. You know, I have a sign in my office here at church, and the sign has one word on it. This is one of the signs I have in my office, and it says radiant, radiant. Pastor, what do you got that sign up there for? Well, during COVID, I think it's so important that you and I shine for Jesus. Radiant, that we're to be lights of righteousness, that we're to be light in this dark world, that we're to stand out with our attitude, a winning attitude. We're to stand out with our witness as an overcomer, and we're to make a difference. Notice he said, others too were radiant at what God did for them. There was no downcast look of rejection. God is for you. The poor man cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. For the angel of the Lord guards, rescues all who reverence him. God's protection. Oh, put God to the test and see how kind he is. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. See for yourself the way his mercy showered down on all who trust in him. Are you trusting in him tonight? I want to encourage you to do that. Put your trust in God and watch showers of blessings upon you and your family. If you belong to the Lord, reverence him. For everyone who does this has everything they need. Oh my goodness. Instead of focusing on what we need tonight, let's focus on him tonight. If you belong to God, if you're born again, if you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, and you're reverencing him, putting him first, then what you can expect for him to meet every one of your needs. Even the strong lions sometimes go hungry, but those of us who reverence the Lord will never lack any good thing. Sons and daughters, come and listen and let me teach you the importance of trusting and fearing the Lord. Well, we've got to pass that on down to the next generation. It's called legacy, right? Do you want a long, good life? We don't want just a long life. I want for you and me a long, good life. I don't want to live long and end up in a nursing home. Not going to happen. I want to live long and have health and strength and a good, abundant life to the very last day. And I want that for you as well. Then watch your tongue. If I want a good, long life, then I need to watch my tongue. My tongue has the power to create life or death. Then watch your tongue and keep your lips from lying. That's where I got the title for last Wednesday night. And tonight, the eve before Thanksgiving Day, watch your mouth. Watch your tongue. It's important that we are selective, that we don't just say how we feel, that we don't just say what we think, that we don't speak before we think, that we take time to speak accurately. We take time to speak intently. We take time to respond and speak what the Word says about us and our situation. So some scriptures that talk about how important it is to watch our mouth. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. So God knows that we need a guard. We need a guard at my mouth. Oh God, set a watch at the door of my lips. So we need a guard. What's that guard for? That guard is there to make sure we need a guard. We need a watch before our mouth so we don't say things that access the devil. We want to say things that access God. We want to say things that build, not tear down, edify, restore, give grace, be a blessing. We don't want to curse or cuss. We don't want to speak death, discouragement, or defeat. We want to speak victory and faith and increase and health and victory and overcoming over every situation in our life. Goes on to say in Proverbs 13:3, those people, that's you and me, who control their tongue. I can't do it for you and you can't do it for me. We have to tame our own tongue, train our own tongue. See the value of what we say. See the importance that every word matters. We need to speak on purpose. We need to speak in line with the Word of God. We need to speak what thus saith the Lord. Amen? Those who control their tongue will have a long life. But opening your mouth can ruin everything. Be careful what you say. Protect your life. A careless talker destroys their life. There we have Proverbs 18:20. 21, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Now, I want to go to Numbers. I want to give you a story in the Bible of how important it is what we say. And what we say is connected to our strength. What we say is connected to what God can do in our life. What we say is connected to us finishing strong or even finishing at all. What we say is important to us reaching our dream, our goals, and our God-given destiny. So here's a story in the Old Testament. It's in Numbers chapter 20. I'm going to read a few verses. And this is Moses. Let me set it up. This is Moses leading the people out of Egypt into the promised land. Now God's will, God's plan, was for Moses to lead them out and lead them in. That didn't happen. Why? Because Moses, because of pressure and being tempted to say the wrong thing. And can I just add that the devil comes to you and I every day to tempt us with pressure to say defeat, speak discouragement, doubt, lack, fear, and unbelief. He tempts us to give in and say what we feel, respond in an incorrect way, unchristlike. And right here, what happens is Moses, under the pressure of the people and the circumstances, he gave in to that temptation and he said the wrong thing. To whom much is given, much is required. So God says, Moses, because you said the wrong thing, every word matters. The power of the tongue. Watch my mouth. Am I blessing or cursing? Am I giving access to life or death? Am what I'm saying prolonging my life, or is what I'm saying shortening my life? What I'm saying bringing me victory, or is what I'm saying bringing me defeat? Questions we need to ask ourselves. So God says, Moses, because you allowed the pressure of the people, your circumstances, and the devil to tempt you to say the wrong thing as my representative, you will not enter into the promised land. You will not fulfill your destiny. Notice his words and speaking incorrectly, not in line with God's will, kept him from what God wanted to do in his life. Watch. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode at Kadesh, and Miriam died there, and she was buried there. Come over to the board. Verse 2. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against the leadership, against Pastor Moses and his assistant Aaron. And the people argued with Moses, and they said, would God that we had died When our brethren died before the Lord, they're complaining, they're murmuring. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord to this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? This is what we call a negative confession. They're speaking death. You know, whatever I'm speaking is killing things or giving life to things. And they're killing their future right now because they're not watching their mouth. And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt? They're blaming the leadership to bring us out into this evil place. It is a place of no seed, no figs, no vines, no pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. They're complaining. Somebody said, you complain, you remain. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord now, this is God speaking to Moses, the pastor, the leadership, take the rod, this is God's word now, take the rod, gather the church, you and your assistant, your brother, and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water, and thou shalt bring forth them. God wanted to do a miracle. God told him how to get a miracle. God told him what to say, the power of words. So thou shalt give the congregation and their animals drink. Moses took the rod before the Lord as he was commanded, and Moses and his associate pastor gathered the congregation before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now. Now notice, the sheep has gotten his goat, okay? The sheep has aggravated him, the people, the congregation. They've aggravated Moses. He's agitated, irritated, upset, and angry. Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. What did God tell him to do? Speak to the rock. What did Moses do? Disobey God. And he hit the rock out of anger. And he hit the rock twice. Water came out abundantly. The congregation drank, and their beast also. Then the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you will not fulfill your destiny I have for you. You will not take them into the promised land. You will not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. That angered him also at the waters of strife, so that went ill with Moses for their sakes. Because they provoked his spirit, they got the pastor mad, irritated, Pastor Moses, because of their murmuring, complaining, and blaming, so that he what? Spoke. Moses, what he said, he didn't watch his mouth. And we're not getting on his case because I need help every day. And we haven't arrived, nor will we get perfect at this. Even though it's a sign of spiritual maturity, the longer I can go without speaking doubt, the more mature I am. The longer I can go without speaking fear, the more spiritually developed that I am. The longer that I can go speaking in line with God's word, even when life's difficult, the more spiritual I am. It kind of is a characteristic, an attribute, a telltale sign. I'm growing spiritual. I'm being more spiritually developed. If the longer I can go without feeling sorry for myself, sad, depressed, mad, angry, defeated, upset, complaining, and murmuring, the longer I can go without doing that is proof I'm getting more spiritually developed. So he said, because you spoke unadvisedly with your lips. Somebody said back in World War II, they had a motto that loose lips sink ships. Loose lips, hung by the tongue. It's a good book called Hung by the Tongue. Whoa. The Bible says we're snared by the words of our mouth. That's why we need to guard. We can't just say anything and have God's best. I can't just say anything or how I feel and have God's best. I have to train my tongue, tame my tongue, evaluate what I'm saying, put a guard and a watchman over my mouth so I only speak what God has said in his book, in the Bible. So that's so important. So now I want to give you takeaways. I want to give you how to stand on God's word. What does it mean to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and have control of my tongue, control of my mouth, and only speak in line with God's word. How do I do that? How to stand on the word and see God's word come to pass in our life? How to claim the promises of God? There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. How do you claim them? How do you stand on them? How do you take them? How do you see them work? Most Christians don't have a working relationship with the word. Most of them that even know the word or can quote the word don't know how to get the word to work in their life and get results. So we're talking about the power of our mouth, the power of our tongue, master our mouth, watch our mouth, train our tongue to speak and only say what God has said. We should find out what God has said about our family and only say what God has said about our family. We should find out what God has said about our health in the Bible, the promises, and only say what God has said about our health. We should find out what the Bible says, what God has said about our finances, and only say what God has said about our finances. We should find out what God has said about our children and how to raise them. And we should not repeat what our culture is saying. We should only say what God has said about our children and parenting. That's standing on the word. So how do we do that? I hope you're a note taker. How do we do that? I want to give you a few ways. Number one, or A, it starts with hearing the word. We're hearing too much of the news right now. That's why people are speaking negative, being critical, cursing, cussing, destroying, hurting, blaming. We're hearing too much of bad news and not enough of the good news. So what am I saying? Go to sleep at night listening to the Bible. Wake up in the morning. I'm giving you some practical application while you're taking your shower or having a bath or fixing the breakfast, and put the word on to play. When you're in your car, if you go to work right now and you're working at your workplace, listen to the word on the way in. If you have your office at home as you're setting things up, before you ever turn the computer on, listen to the word. And then B, then start speaking the word. I just said that. Only say what God has said in his word. I thank God for those of you that joined us in our small groups, our home groups. How needed you are right now. How important. And if you're watching right now, you're in the chat room, or you're having a host party, or you've gathered together on Thanksgiving Eve and you're watching this and you need prayer, we have a 24-hour prayer line. We're here to pray with you and believe God. Amen. So speak the word, and then C, resist the devil. He's going to come. He's going to attack us with his lies and his thoughts. He comes to bring us lies and his thoughts. Do you know that the first temptation when Jesus, in Matthew 4, 40 days, he was in the wilderness, Jesus, and he was fasting and praying, and he came out, and the Bible says the devil came to tempt him. Did you know that his first temptation was over his words, that the devil attacked him, put pressure on him to say the wrong thing? Didn't he? The devil said, if you are the Son of God, trying to create doubt, then command, speak to these stones and command them to become bread. The first temptation and attack of the devil on Jesus was over words. Powerful. So resist the devil, his lies, and his thoughts. Receive standing grace. Did you know that there's standing grace? God will give us grace to stand, because we don't know how long it's going to take for things that we're believing for. Some things manifest quicker than others, but the Bible says in the book of Galatians, it says stand, and in the book of Romans, stand in the grace that you have. You know, God has enough grace for whatever you're facing today. All we need is more grace in whatever we're facing today to defeat the enemy and gain the victory. So resist the devil, right? And then receive standing grace. Just start declaring, God, I receive and I believe grace to stand. God, your word says, say what God has said about grace, and grace that helps you stand for your marriage, your ministry, your career, restoration, your children to come home, that healing to manifest, debt cancellation over those credit cards, that school loan, those medical bills. Ask God for standing grace, all right? And then we have Thanksgiving. We have Thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. And here we are, as Josh comes out, here we are on Thanksgiving Eve. And what a great time to offer up thanksgiving and praise unto God. Amen, everybody? Well, if you got something, give the Lord a praise right there where you're at. Give him a big thank you, a hand clap, a shout, a lifting of the hands, whatever, wherever you're at right now. Wow, watch your mouth, power of the tongue. Right now, last Wednesday night and tonight, I think the Holy Spirit's giving us instructions. I think he's showing us what to do. I think he's giving us a checklist so that we can end this year strong. And I just want to declare right now that God is healing someone's right shoulder. Someone else, kidney infection, God is healing you right now. Someone else, crossed eyes, God's straightening your eyes. This is you, claim it. These are called the gifts of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Someone else, you've got pain in your left side, God's healing you right now. Many of you that are discouraged, God right now is touching you through this utterance. He's delivering you from that dark spirit, that moodiness, that depression, that feeling sorry for myself. And we all face it. I speak courage. I speak strength. I speak blessing. Those of you who have gone through this year and you've lost some things, I speak and declare restoration and turnaround and breakthrough. And I declare our best years are ahead. Those of you that are standing for your sons and daughters to come home spiritually, I declare revival. I declare restoration over your family. I declare an awakening. I declare a reformation for our families in Jesus' name. Now, but before we leave tonight, I want to lead you in a prayer for everybody that you say, I don't want religion, Pastor, but I want a relationship. I want to know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. And I want to know what my purpose is on this earth while I'm alive. And Pastor, I want to get rid of the confusion and the clutter and the chaos. And I want clarity. I want to know my course and why I'm here. I want God. I just flat want God to be the center of my life, Pastor. I want to end this year on the right foundation. As well as those of you that are watching or listening, and you say, Pastor, I'm not right with God. I want to be honest. I'm going to be authentic. I'm going to be real. And I'm going to face up. And during COVID, I've let things drop. I was on fire for God at the beginning of COVID. I've gotten lukewarm and cold. And I don't want to live this way any longer, Pastor. The devil's stealing from me. I want to close that door. Pray for me to rededicate my life. I want us all to pray this prayer right now. Say it out loud with me wherever you're at. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for me and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Jesus is Lord over my life right now. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.